Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening. Welcome to the gathering brought to you by Forever Family Foundation on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And you are here with us all, Tom and Melissa Gould. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and Fran Ginsberg is here. And tonight's topic is going to be something that we visited in the past, and we're going to visit it again and see what else we come up with. But the nature of dreams versus dream visits, so so-called real dreams versus real dream visits.
Which is why we're going to visit it again.
That's right. And tonight's sponsor is L&R Productions. You can find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. And right now, Fran's going to get us caught up on the foundation business, and then we're going to get right into dream visits.
Okay, but I'd also like to point out that we may be having a visit, which is why we're having all of this static tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be open-minded about that.
Okay.
And let me bring everybody up to date about them helping us do the work that we do by financially supporting the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% not-for-profit organization. But you could do it without sending us a single pretty penny. If you shop on the Internet, think of us before you go to Amazon.com. And again, go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org. Use the Amazon link there to get to Amazon. And there's one on every page of our new website, so you don't have to worry about finding it. And if you add that simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us without you spending any more money than you would have spent on Amazon to begin with. And if you don't shop on Amazon, that's not a problem either. There's another way to be certain that almost all of your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation, again, without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. You could even do it now. Sign up with iGive. It's free. You can name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the Internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you're probably already shopping in, like 1-800-Flowers, at the Apple Store, Expedia, FTD, Vera Bradley, the list goes on and on and on. So if you don't already have a, and you will need a credit card to do this if you're shopping online. So if you don't already have one or you'd like another one, you can also go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. And Visa, too, will be making a donation to us for every card that's taken out. And every time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care and help us with our mission statement. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is up and running and ready for future winners to get those tickets. The link is available on our brand new website. And please be generous as these two raffles each year help us fund our very basic of programs, including the new website. So in this raffle, you can win one or more one-hour phone readings with one of our certified mediums. This raffle features Neil Zapata, Renee Buck, Renata Santarelli, Lee Ashley, and Bobby Allison. It's only $5 a chance. Annual December holidays in Compton Lakes, New Jersey, had to be rescheduled due to weather and is now set for March 22nd. So if you go to our website now, you can capture some of the open seats that are still available. Our annual grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th, back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. So added day just for parents of lost children. Details are all up on the website, and it is a very special weekend of a small group of like-minded people sharing a special journey together. So if you want to be a part of this, make your arrangements early. Not want to miss out on this meaningful experience. And lastly, if you are business interested in advertising on our show, contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office 631-425-7707. I'm done, Bob.
Okay. Well, we're going to get back right into our topic, real dreams versus real dream visits. So if I took a look at the dictionary, see what they consider to be a dream. Their definition is correct, I guess, in respect, but certainly not complete, the way we think of dreams. So they describe a dream as a series of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations occurring involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep. So, in other words, subconscious that's stirring up, you know, all this stuff and bringing it to the forefront. So if then we look around and we see all sorts of and websites and practitioners who say, tell me a dream and I'll interpret it for you. And, you know, and they have all these symbol books and everything. And they say that, you know, we could find meaning in every single dream, which I don't personally believe. But how about you guys? I mean, do you think we find meaning in every dream?
No. When I'd taken a class called Biology of the Brain, and I think you've said this too, Bob, that professor explained that it was just the series of events that happened in our day or recent days, and the brain is trying to put it into some sort of order so that we can understand it. But that a simple, ordinary dream, I think, is that.
Yeah, and one of the books I've read, who was a gentleman who was a guest on the show,
Robert Morse.
He adamantly says, not get one of these books and that'll say, here's what you dreamed, here's what it means. He says that it's a personal thing, that yes, there's meaning to them, but you have to find your meaning. What does it mean to you? Mm-hmm. Rather than, you know, just blanketly saying that this symbol means something. And I also take issue with a little issue with dictionary definition that says it's involuntary, because I've certainly experienced lucid dreams where I can voluntarily go where I want in this dream. Mm-hmm. Granted, the images and that are what I'm dealing with, and those are involuntary, but to an extent, there's a voluntary aspect of dreaming.
That makes me think a lucid dream is even a kind of dream, because we're talking about dream visits where spirit visits us. We're talking about the normal dream or ordinary daily experiences are replayed in our mind. But what you're talking about sounds different. It's with intent. And
you're a participant, you know. Well, yeah, you don't agree with that it's also everything has meaning.
No, I don't. And I'm going to go a step further, because I think that the design of who we are in this physical is whoever created it thought this thing out very, very well. We have an immune system that kicks in when we're exposed to diseases. We have all kinds of mechanisms that are built within us for a reason. And I'm going to go so far as to say that dreaming is one of those mechanisms that assist in one way or another. So when we do have those dreams that are a mixture of things that we are anxious about, or that we've experienced during the day, or whatever, that's a built-in system within us. Dreaming has a purpose in helping us to, I don't know, maybe work out, or to just experience the dream itself, so we can wake up in the morning refreshed and able to start the day, even though the nonsense of the day before may have knocked us off center.
Yeah, I agree. Since I knew we were going to be talking about this, I was trying to take note of some of the dreams, you know, that I was having a couple of days. And like last night, I was having all fragmented dreams, but a common theme was that I had to get to a certain place, and I wasn't able to get there no matter what I did, you know. So then, going along with what you said about Tom, the personal meaning, so I could look and say, well, okay, I'm not one to analyze my dreams, you know, but could that mean that I'm you know, worried or frustrated about not reaching a goal. I mean, it seems too obvious, you know, something like that. But I'll tell you that earlier in the week, I had a pretty significant dream, and it involved a famous scientist, his name, but somebody that you all will know of, and he's in a field that's written some books about consciousness and well respected. And I was the last guy I would think, you know, I'd be thinking about it. In the dream, I was at we were at a function in a big convention hall. It was like a function / wedding. I don't know whose wedding it was. In the dream, he invented these headsets. And when you put on these headsets, we were all hovering 15 feet in the air near the point, talking to each other. to make a long story short, there were a couple in the dream. It was very obvious that two of the people that were hovering near the ceiling with us were these unsavory characters, that it was made very clear in the dream that they were just after scientists' invention for their own personal gain, and they would try to steal it from them and so on. So then I woke up the next morning, you know, why? What is? I don't know if this is crap or what. So I'm getting information from the dreams. Maybe I tapped into the unconscious. I'm going to send an email to the scientist, which I did. I said, please excuse me. I never send these kind of emails, but here's what happened. And I put, well, if I were intuitive, which I am not, I would probably say to you, if you were ever in a position where you were collaborate with some people about one of your inventions, your work, that I would be careful. And he wrote back almost immediately saying, interesting, I'm in that situation right now.
And now you just spilled the beans over the radio.
No, he hasn't named any
names. I didn't identify
him. No, not him, but the hovering...
We'll talk more about dreams, but we're going to take a break. Come back, we're going to speak a lot more about dream visits and what they mean to people and are they real. So stay with us.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken, even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
To the gathering, and we are talking about dreams and dream visits. The number here, if you'd like to speak with us, is 1-888-627-6008. And, you know, we're talking about dream visits and how that is different. So we just described the regular dreams, this disjointed conglomeration of fragments, and how you possibly can work things out from these dreams. But dream visits are quite a different animal. So who would like to describe a dream visit?
I have one significant one that okay. just stayed with me, and I think that's the key, that it stays with you. Mm-hmm. Like when somebody fabricates something, but the truth is always the same thing. And so my truth is that I had this dream visit from Tom's dad. I wrote it down with the date and all, but right now I cannot recall how long after he passed. And in that dream, he asked me, he mentally communicated to me that he needed my help. And I would have to say, he started to reveal himself in messages from mediums, and we were taking Tom's mom to mediums. So maybe the message he was trying to convey is, take my wife for opportunities to hear from me. Right. And that just stayed with me. I won't get into all the details. I've told it before, but
quite clear. Did he come through? He came through at what age?
That's a good question. I hadn't really thought about that.
Okay. It was an adult.
Yes.
Probably one that you would recognize. I mean,
definitely, but I have plenty of pictures of one. He's younger, too. I just knew it was him.
Yeah.
It was a knowing. I knew it was him.
Right. I was just going to say that. Don't you think that a dream visit has the same telepathic attributes as communication through a medium, that when they show up, along with it comes all of the other attributes of who they are,
and
everything is there
yeah.
without them saying anything.
Yeah, I think so.
And the reason I ask is in the dream, all the accounts of dream visits, the person that's deceased comes through in various different ages and stages and physical conditions. It's often said that somebody that was infirm, projects themselves the way that they would like you to remember them. You know, so somebody that was old and frail might come through robust in their, in their 40s or 30s, sometimes younger people come through as children, as younger children. So. That makes sense. I mean, it's serving a dual purpose. You want to communicate, but you also want to give evidence to the person. Same way, I guess, you'll be through a mediumship. It's another form of communication, don't you think? The way spirit communicates to somebody that's receptive.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
It would also make sense that you would be more receptive in a dream state than you are when you're conscious and have got all the other blocks against this head.
Absolutely. I know that sometimes when you have a dream visit, there's not even a question. You know, when you wake up, because it's so different. I mean, everything, you know, it's lucid, it's crisp, and it's as if the person was standing in front of you. So it's none of this, like I just described earlier, we're trying to reach someplace and you can't. It's very clear, and there are conversations that take place many times telepathically. But sometimes you actually hear the voices, you know. So sometimes it's as if I was talking to you right now. So it's all these things that we learn, that we think that the afterlife is like. You know, people on the other side communicate with each other and by thought, and they're communicating to us through dreams by thought. And you can get into dreaming is an altered state of consciousness. So when people have a near-death experience, they get, you know, that's certainly an altered state of consciousness, and they come through there, or these deathbed visions, you know, where people are, that's interesting with visions, is they're not always in an altered state of consciousness. Sometimes they're perfectly lucid. Maybe a totally different thing.
Yeah,
have you had a dream visit, Tom?
Yeah, I've had a couple. And what I've been told by people, the mediums, and that as Melissa said, that a dream visit is something that's very, it looks different, it feels different, and primarily you know because you remember it. You remember it a lot clearer. When you were talking about the dreams you've had in the last, I rarely remember my dreams. And yet, this one dream I had, which is now 20 years ago, I remember as if it was last night. And I was beyond in, you know, as a musician, after my first band broke up and I was solo, I was working in a deli, and somebody came in and asked, they knew I was a bass player and asked if I wanted to do this gig. He had made an album, a single, a song called "Nobody for President," and you know his whole shtick was in Wavy Gravy. The guy from Woodstock was behind this campaign, this "Nobody for President" campaign. It was when Reagan was running against Carter, and he would go out and do rallies, and he's who's going to lower your taxes, and everybody else, nobody, you know, and you know, who's going to look after you, nobody, you know, and who are you going to vote for, nobody, and then. And would play "Nobody for President." So we actually got a book to play in Lafayette Park across the street from the White House on Election Day that year. And so we drove down in a van and we played the gig. And there was a percussionist on the gig there, this friend of mine that was Carl, somebody I didn't know, but I became friendly with him after that gig. And started playing together and were very close, and he passed away, and about a year after he passed, I remember having a dream where I went into this apartment complex that had, it was kind of looked like a motel where you'd have two levels, and there he was over the balcony of the looking down at me and saying, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, you know, it's good to see you," and that kind of thing. Just as simple as that.
Yeah.
But like I said, I can remember the work. I can remember the area looks. I remember everything about it.
Yeah.
And I feel that, you know, I communicated with them.
I'm sure you did. That's sick.
There was another one talking about when my father passed away. I had a dream, and it was kind of the setting was kind of like, you know, the days of Frankenstein, or in my dream, it would be young Frankenstein. You know, the cottage where Gene Hackman, the blind man, was in Frankenstein. And anyway, there was a knock on the door. I opened it. There's a woman there standing with a man who didn't speak and was just like a Frankenstein. And it was my father. Didn't say a word. And I remember putting my hand out putting my hand on his chest. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And that's how he kind of was in my dream, because he communicated, "I need your," he didn't speak.
Yeah.
He was just standing there in the window.
So, you know, I mean, this is a tough one, because there's really no, you either believe it or you don't. And there's no arguing it, really. I mean, if you don't believe it, there's nothing you can just help somebody do that it's real.
Right.
They experience it themselves. But, you know, we're here looking about evidence, and the one piece of evidence that sticks out in these dreams is just how clear it is, just how long it is with you.
Absolutely. Sometimes the verbal communication or just looking at your loved one is enough. That could speak volumes of itself, you know. And maybe it's difficult, you know, at that stage, somebody passed over, to project thought. Maybe it's hard enough just to project an image, you know. So, you know, yeah. Who knows what else goes into it. When I was reading some of the facts about dreaming, you know, and who knows how accurate these things are, but they were saying how long the dreams last. You know, so I'm trying to think, well, sometimes they seem like they go on for the whole night, don't they?
Like, and you have to measure them. Like,
I know.
I mean, well, it seems like
they say
with REM.
Yeah, you can measure in REM.
Short.
They say it could be only a few seconds, up to 20 minutes. So I don't know. I mean, I'm
trying to measure it from the physical perspective. Remember, when you're having this visit, you're in the non-physical world where there is no time and space.
Exactly.
So you can't measure it.
No. They also say the average person has 3 to 4 dreams per night. Sometimes you could have
probably more than that.
As many as 7. I don't know. But
that's
I don't know.
I mean, what counts the beginning or end of a dream anyway, other than getting up and going to the bathroom?
Yeah. What are these professional dream counters?
I don't know. I want to throw in one more concept. I've had dreams with people doing it, but they play no particular role in the dream at all. They don't just there. But they're deceased people, and when I wake up, whoa, this visited me, and this person, there was no message. They were not active in what was going on. They were just there.
I remember a dream I'd had of my dad, who passed us in 2010, and my dad, all my memory of daddy was always attending meetings, trying to save the world, like under the lesser nations of the world. And in my dream, there was my dad as a younger man, probably when he was in his prime, just moving with a group of people around him, and he just had a big smile on his face, and he wasn't coming towards me. He was surrounded by this group of people, and he was right in the middle. So I just felt accomplishing or working on what he always worked on in his physical life. And that was a good feeling, knowing that he was still focused on that.
Did you want to take a...
Yes, we have Jean on line 3.
Hello, Fran, it's Jean.
Hey, Jean.
I just wanted to let you know about my dream visit that I had. I just lost my husband, Al, and the night that he passed, I was sleeping, and I woke up at 2:16, and I suddenly was laying there, my eyes closed, and I felt a black, I don't know why, I just want to say black, I want to say dark, a dark, something fly, like, past me. Just passed me, and my eyes closed. I could just feel it. And I woke up, I opened up my eyes and looked at the clock and said, I better get to sleep because I know he was dying and he might call me. They might call me and I might have to get there. I closed my eyes, went immediately to sleep. And I dreamt that he walked down the hallway and I saw him. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I said, you're supposed to be at hospice. And he said, I passed, and he came to give me a kiss. And in the dream, there were 3 men in black robes. One of them was an uncle that I was not close to, who died many, many years ago, over 30, 40 years ago. And he was there. And he kissed me, and I next thing I know, the phone rang, and my children were at the door to tell me that he had passed away. And
wow.
He passed around that time.
I mean, thanks for sharing.
I'll share you with that, Ben and Bob. I know you both, and you know me.
Yeah, and that and you're not the first. I mean, and how wonderful, you know, to get that visitation right away. And there's hundreds of years of these accounts where people just at the same time that they pass make themselves known in this fashion to their loved ones to let them know they're okay. And
something passed over me. I don't know what it was. It was like as if, you know, when your eyes are closed and you just put your hand in front of you, you can sort of like see a black feeling in front of your eyes or something.
Yeah.
Something passed in front of me just before when I looked at that clock. And I think my belief is that he passed at that time, and I went right to sleep immediately because my kids were at the door only within a half an hour. And then came that dream. So I think he just came to say goodbye to me.
Aww.
And
right.
I don't know. I think that's my belief. And I thought I'd share with you because it was an immediate type of dream visit. I was listening to your show about some of the others, and I have many dreams, too, about people that have passed, et cetera. I don't know whether they dreamed of it or not, but I know this was because it happened right at the moment he passed.
Yeah.
Thank you. You
can't explain it by any other means. It was at the same time, you know. So it's,
right, and that you had the sensation with it.
Yeah.
It's very significant. And then there's the third factor is that there were other people there that Gene knew that were there probably to welcome Al the other side.
Yeah.
But why an uncle who I was not supposed to and never, you know, having 30, 40 years ago he might have passed. And
doesn't
Al didn't even know him.
There's no time on the other
there.
Side.
Here, we assume Al didn't know him. But from a sober perspective, Al probably knew him very well.
That's another radio show.
I don't know that I grasp that or understand it, but okay. I just wanted to share that with you, Fran. Because
I love the story, and I'm glad that you shared it, and I'm glad that our listeners got to hear it. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, and it really speaks loudly of love and how that bond of love stays with you, whether you're here in the physical or you're not here. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Jean, so sorry for your loss, but I know you're going to be seeing him again.
Thank you. That's what I look forward to. Thank you. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. It's a great story.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, we all read about these things, you know, but then you hear, you know, these personal accounts, and Alice, you explained it, it's at the same time, you know, and they... And as far as seeing something, I mean, you know, that could have been the soul leaving the body, or it could have been it's a materialization or an apparition. You know, this is a classic, you know, a crisis apparition, because as far as Jean knew, her husband was alive.
Right.
Then Al appears to her, and she says, "Why are you here? You're supposed to be in hospice." And then they find out, well, that was at He said to her,
"I've passed."
I passed.
Now, here's the interesting thing that we're not considering. We hear over and over again that the things that they do, the signs that they leave us, the various different types of things, why one spirit can do one thing and another spirit can't. He may have very easily tried to physically materialize in the room, which may have been the sensation that she got.
Right.
And not being able to either awaken her or have her respond to it or see it or him to completely materialize, he then came to her via the dream.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's just that people say it's a sense of presence, but this was more than that. You know, this was an apparition or a materialization. And we also know that sometimes, Jean even mentioned she has dreams of dead people, you know, and I've done that myself, and I'm sure many, many other people have too, and that may be another example of somebody in spirit not being able to get through in a dream to their own loved ones, so they'll get through, going through the back door, you know, through through a different way. So that's pretty evidential too. So in a visitation dream, I guess one of the differences is that they're not steeped in symbolism, right? Like the other dreams, there are these symbols, but in a visitation dream, it's just what it is, right? So we don't have those symbols. We need to take a break, or we have another call, or...
Well, let's take this caller first, and then we could go to a break. We have Allison from New York online, too. She has a question.
Okay. Oh, Allison?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, hi, good evening. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I wanted to first just thank you so much for all of the work that you guys do and for presenting intelligent and evidence-based, as best as we're able, information about what is widely unknown and not yet, unfortunately, accepted by most people. My question is actually as it relates to interpreting symbols that we get through our dream experiences and visitations to other people whom they might be intended for. I have a lot of psychic experiences and dream visits from family members, but also from relatives who have passed, of friends of mine. And, you know, often they don't make a lot of sense to me. It's, you know, my dear friend's mother shows up and she's making eggs in a studio apartment, and then I find out the next day that it was actually her birthday on that day, or something as you guys were speaking of that could be evidence that it's more than just a dream. Or a good friend's father who had passed exactly a year prior comes to me in a dream and hands me $12. And so these seem like really specific symbols, and I don't know what they mean. And when I relate them to friends aren't always receptive, and they don't always know what those symbols mean. I'm wondering if you guys have any advice about any tools or tricks of the trade that I can use to interpret those dreams and how I would approach people to deliver those messages.
But that's pretty, it's tricky. You know, mediums always tell us that they're faced with a dilemma, you know, so they get information and then you have no idea whether or not somebody's going to be receptive to that, you know. So the only thing that they do is they ask the person if it's okay, and if they say no, you know, they back off, and if they seem receptive to it, they give the information. So I guess it would be a similar situation. You know, by the way, you know, I had a dream of your loved one. Do you want to hear about it? And, you know, if they say yes, you continue. And if they say no, I happened to me once, and somebody said no, and I backed off, you know. So you're right. A lot of people don't. I think regarding symbols, not everything has to mean something. You know, just by somebody showing an image of themselves doing something mundane like cooking eggs doesn't mean that there's necessarily a symbol to be read into that in terms of the eggs or the cooking or something like that. It's just their way of projecting themselves so that you'll know that they still exist, and you'll get that message to whoever it's intended for. I mean, do you get a strong feeling that the symbols are important, or just the fact that you're getting visited?
Certainly, just the fact that I'm getting visited, I feel both blessed and burdened with that. But I guess I hadn't really thought it's possible the symbols don't mean anything. I mean, some like the $12 being handed to me seems so specific that I wonder if there is some, you know, some deeper meaning in those. But perhaps not.
Could be.
But then there's the other side of the coin is that, excuse the pun. is that, they create with their thoughts, as we create our own reality with our thoughts. So when they're trying to come up with maybe just the word money, in their mind, they're visualizing a $10 bill and a couple of ones, and to you it comes across as $12. You know, maybe 12 is not significant. And I think that in the physical world, we're constantly, and I know I say this a lot, we're constantly trying to put things into categories instead of just accepting the visits and the messages for what they are, visits and messages.
And you had asked if we had any tips. Well, there's from what I've read, what you can do is, since you clearly have some of the psychic abilities to receive information or visits, you can enhance that by, before you go to sleep, maybe meditate a little bit and then put out an intention that you would like to receive a visit. In fact, you can be even specific and ask a question that you might want answered during the night, and then have a notebook by your bed so that when you, as soon as you wake up, that you can write down what your dream was. And if you keep a dream journal, sometimes the messages will become more clear. Maybe the message of the $12 didn't mean anything tonight, but if you keep your journal and you write that down, maybe in over a space of a few weeks, you'll get more to the message that'll complete the puzzle. That would be a tip.
Yeah, it just made me think also, where the mediums get into trouble often is when they get specific information and then they interpret it in their, from their own conscious awareness, and then they tell the sitter what they think it means. So to the medium, that $12 may have meant something specific, and they'll say, they won't even say the $12. They'll say something. What is the number?
Right.
So
the number 12 is the 12 months or November.
So
I'm looking at calendar.
What I would do if I were you, and you had a receptive person, is just say, I have no idea whether this means anything to you, but your loved one showed me $12. Does that mean anything to you? Because it doesn't to me. And then, you know, it may mean something to them, but you don't want to cloud the issue by interpreting it somehow yourself. You know.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, and
happy dreaming.
Happy dreaming.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on and for all that you do.
Thank you very much. So,
thank you.
We're a little late with taking a break, so we're going to go to a break now, come back and talk more about dreams and dream visits. Stay with us.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about dreams and dream visits. The differences, are they real? And I know that we had a whole bunch of callers. Do you want to take another call?
Yes, I have them hanging. So we've got Sue from Connecticut. She's on line three.
Hello, Sue.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to The Gathering.
I'm coming in. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I'm coming into the program a little bit late, so I'm not sure if you've already mentioned this, but in my dream, I wanted to just mention, I had a conversation with him as if we were just visiting, and I saw him in a bathrobe, and he had sort of a glow around him that happened twice in another dream also, and he was laughing, and he showed me, he said, he had his blue slippers on, and he said to me, "Thank your mother, I've got my slippers back now."
Oh.
And so I told my mother, and she reacted kind of funny. She said, "I had to throw those out. The dog ate them."
What a great story. I love it.
And then she kind of got this, she's kind of used to, I've had these things happen since I was a child, but this was more specific and relating to her. And so then she was listening, and I said, "And Mom, he was wearing this bathrobe I've never seen before." And I described it and the colors, and I said, "That's not anything I remember him wearing." And she got this look on her face. I'll never forget it. And she said, "I gave that to him as a wedding present."
Wow.
And, you know, for their honeymoon.
Yeah. Aww.
And I said, "Well, obviously I haven't seen that one."
Yeah. Well, see, that's really cool because, you know, he gave you specific pieces of evidence. So, you know, how would you have known? So, That validates your experience, and it also provides comfort to your mom. So that's great.
What did Mom make of all this?
As I mentioned, I've had some of these experiences through my life, and so she kind of got to the point where she was like, yeah. But when I got more specific, she would be listening. So when she passed away in May, and I had my sister and I were taking care of her, and we had a very profound spiritual experience when she passed on. But she was seeing my grandmother and my father, and I don't doubt it, because I've had some experiences also. But she never acknowledged that I could really do this. So she said to me, she was lucid. She had had a period where she was restless, and she was talking to them with her eyes open, though. And she said to me, "Oh, your father's mad at me." I said, "Why?" She said, "He wants me, he says, I've got to make a lot of meatballs before I can go with him." and then she said, "And you must have seen him and Grandma." And I said, "No, Mom, this time I didn't see them." And my sister proceeded to make the meatballs. And my mom woke up from, she did take a little nap and woke up and said, "You know, I'd like some meatballs for dinner." That didn't happen because she wasn't able to.
Yeah.
But she passed on that night.
Wow.
And, the meatballs were made.
It was amazing.
Wow.
Well, if you ever write a book, that's the title, Meatballs in the Afterlife. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your program. It's awesome.
Thanks.
Have a good evening. Both my parents.
Take care. Thank you.
I just want to say that her story really answers Allison's question from before. Because in when she talks about the slippers, like he says, "I have my slippers back," somebody would want to interpret that as literally him getting the slippers back. But they were long gone. They were eaten by the dog. So, you know, you go back to that same thing. Don't interpret it. Give it as you get it.
What do you think of this? I mean, so we talked about your conscious mind meeting with you. So have these higher. You think it's all a dream that our higher communicates with us to give us information, as opposed to
I think so. It brings up the again, I'm reading this book called The Untethered Self here, and it's very about that. You're through life and there's a constant conversation going on in your head that you is you. You know, well, should I put on this thing? And really what is you is behind all that, observing it. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about, that in dreams, the real you has a better opportunity because it's untethered by the physical.
That makes sense. All right, well, we're going to wind down. So, Fran, you want to give us your...
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Chip Reichenthal, Michael Tim, Trueb, Scott Magnus, Gina Donato, Rita Dwyer, Tracy Lee Nash, Philip McPhee, Joelle Ormond, Jean Lash, Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Barbara Russell, Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Barron, Eileen Lafata, Rita Springer, David Hayes, Barbara Petillo, Glenna Irwin, Julie B., Stanley Newland, Laura Frisco, Marian Pierzga, Tanya Cash, Andy O'Brien, Jeanette Davies, Rachel S., Kimberly Saavedra, Johnny Jackson, Henry Stark, John Cahali, Ann Hutchinson, Betty Alexander, Phyllis Alexander, David Mello, and Leanne Ashley. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.